podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to a special one-off Under Pressure for, and it's great to say, a Champions League final. We're going to do a statistical preview and tactical of the opposition Real Madrid. We welcome Mr. Phil Barter. How are you, sir?
Oh, not bad, mate. You good? Getting a bit nervous now, I suppose, but, you know, that's how it is.
Oh, the butterflies are kicking in. I bet lots of the listeners, the butterflies are kicking in. You go through all sorts of permutations in your head, don't you?
Yeah,
definitely. Dreaming.
Definitely. You're like grabbing all the news and, you know, I was watching Carragher the other day at the AXA and, you know, watching Fab train and you think, yeah, okay, oh, how's it going to work and the rest of it. So, yeah, that's what it's about, right? That's what top level football should be about.
Oh, this is what all season's been for, isn't it? Games like this.
Massively.
Last two games, and this is the bigger. So, let's start with, I think we should start with how we think, or how you think Real Madrid are likely to set up, one formation-wise, and then we'll come on to the lineups.
No worries. So, those who follow the UP chat are normally posting a look back at the last five games on average for the next opposition and write a bit of report and chuck the reports in there, which I'll still chuck the reports in the chat so people aren't going to miss out on that. But with Real Madrid having won the league, the last five league games haven't really been a great deal to go by. So what I did is I've run two reports, one on the last five games and one on every single Champions League knockout game. So from that, it shows you patterns, if you like. So they typically do still use a 4-3-3. I think we know that. In the league, 73% of the time. In the Champions League, 58% of the time. Okay. The difference is in the league, their next formation they would use to change the game up would be 4-2-3-1. Whereas in the Champions League, they drop the wingers in to form a 4-1-4-1. Yeah, which is kind of still 4-3-3, but that's what the differences are. And the patterns are still the same. I mean, in terms of XG, they have created in the Champions League from that formation 10.7 XG and conceded 8.68 in those eight knockout games in 4-3-3. If they go to the other formation, they've only created 1.8 and they've conceded nearly 4 XG. So, you know, if you combine that all up, they've scored 14 and conceded 9 from 9.5 XG and 12.7 XGA. So they overperform at both ends, no matter what formation they use in the Champions League. So I think that gives you the other key things to note about the Champions League versus the league. The pass completion is pretty much around mid-80s, no matter which competition. But in the league, they generally have approaching 60% possession on average, whereas in the Champions League, they're happy to concede possession and they average around 45%. Their long ball rate in the Champions League is 8%, whereas in the league, it's nearly 10%. And I'd say 2%, but that could be a couple more balls here and there. So, yeah, I hope that gives you a little bit of an idea of the setup that they probably will go for against us.
Yeah, so we're assuming that they're going to go with the 4-3-3.
Yeah, I think they might start in the 4-1-4-1 to drop the wing. Because, I mean, effectively, it's the same system, right? It's the same principles. But bearing in mind, us in the Champions League, the last first legs of all of our knockout games, we've gone out hard. Yeah, we've gone out to blitz. Yeah. The Benfica away, the Villarreal. I mean, even City, the FA Cup semi-final, we went out in the first 20 minutes with NTF and absolutely bossed that first 20 minutes. So the best way to go against that is to drop your wingers in and reduce that space in front of your fullbacks. Yeah, so not allow us to do that. So they might, then they could do that. If they're being ultra attacking, they might just go, do you know what? We're playing 4-3-3 and we'll deal with it. But yeah, I think they might start a little bit defensive and then look to spring on the counter and invite us out. Because if you drop the wingers in, Trent's going to be invited to come forward, which then would leave space in behind for Vinny particularly to sprint into.
So what you say that the personnel's slightly different for the knockout than it is for the league. What who do you think is? I think midfield's quite a key.
Yes, for sure. In the league, Modric hasn't been playing. Whereas in the Champions League, it's been Modric, Casemiro, and Valverde. With Cruz is coming in for Valverde a little bit. So I think it'll be the old guard, if you like. So Modric, Casemiro and Cruz in the midfield three. The rest of the person, the back four, back five, including the keeper, if you like, is exactly the same. You know, they've played. Now Alaba's fit, isn't he? So he'll play left side centre-half. They'll play Mendy at left-back, Carvajal at right-back. And I've forgot, Milito, if he's fit, I think he is, will play the right side centre-half. And then Vinny will play left wing, if you like, or left forward, whatever you call it, and Benzema up top. The right side player seems to be a bit of a, I don't want to say whimsical choice, because, you know, the old Italian master doesn't make such notions. He will have a reason for it. But he has played Asensio there, for example. Mm-hmm. He's played Valverde there. He's played Modric out there. Do you know what I mean? It seems to be a bit... He's even played... is it Rodri or Rodrigo?
Rodrigo.
So, yeah, in the Champions League, has got Rodrigo playing that position more than anybody else on the report. But I know recently, in the last two games, he's the one that's come off the bench, isn't he, I think? So, it'll be... That right side is probably the only one where there's probably a slight debate about it. But I think the middle three, he'll go with the old guard.
And we can assume that neither Bale nor Hazard's going to start.
There's no evidence of that. I mean, they're both fit, right? They were doing photos apparently yesterday and Bale was out posturing. I think one of the commentators said he wasn't actually training that efficiently, but... he doesn't figure in any of the games. He doesn't even figure in the last five games in terms of the league either, when they've been rotating players, like in any sort of meaningful minutes, put it that way. Hazard does a little bit. He's come on a couple of sub appearances, but I don't think either of them start now.
And let's kind of mix it in both in defensively, but also just looking at some of their results in the knockout stage, particularly the last three. They've had some really poor XG difference results in those games. Away at PSG, I've got over minus two XG difference against Chelsea. At the Bernabeu, nearly minus two XG difference. And then obviously against Man City, minus one. So they do tend to concede more shots and more XG than their opponents, don't they? Obviously, the quality of the opponents is high, but... Why is that? And what can we exploit apart from that defensive setup?
In terms of what we can do? So, I think they generally overperform defensively. They should concede a lot more considering, you know, what they're giving away, should we say. So the defensive process, I don't think, is great.
In terms of performance, Phil, or is it the other teams missing chances?
It's a good shout.
The City game, they seem to have big chances and we're missing them rather than Real Madrid.
But then is that... I think that's still fair to say that their system's not working if you're giving the opportunity.
Yeah,
you might be right there. It might be the Oppo missing the chance. But what I'm saying is their system as a defensive unit has some issues in it. You know, if you look at what they do... defensively, they have a big issue, I would say, in the right centre back, right back area. I think I've written here, they give up aerially. They lose. This is the most area on the pitch they lose. So, and they lose ground duels in that area as well. So ground duels leading to shots is a pretty bad stat to have as going against you. In that area, they lose 42%. That lead to a shot. So when they lose a duel, they don't recover it enough to not to avoid having a shot. So at 42% of the time, they lose a duel and it leads to a shot. Versus the left side, which is down at 20%. So Mendy's doing a lot better as the left back with support from Alaba. So that is an area to work on. Interestingly, if you look at aerially defensively, in the league, they are supremely good at defending their penalty box. Like their percentage loss in that is, I think, 13% or something like that. Whereas in the Champions League, it's round the other way around. They lose a lot in the penalty box and not a lot in the rest of the defensive load and defensive third. So, yeah, 58% of aerial duels in the penalty spot, they've lost.
So you think the combination of Robbo, whoever's playing the left eight, fingers crossed, Thiago, and then Mane as being the main man, you think that's where we can exploit them the best?
I think so, to that space, if you like. When you look at the reports in the chat, when I put them in, not in this one, the other one, the sort of, if you look at the 18-yard box as a rectangle, if you like, the top right corner, if you're looking at it from the goal, if Trent can put the ball into that area, that is where they seem to lose the majority of the aerial duels. So the delivery from Trent is key, but equally, as you say, ground duels-wise, if Diaz can attack Carvajal at will, which he normally does with Robbo on the overlap, yeah, we could have some joy. The problem is, as we know, Diaz isn't the strongest in terms of finishing. So he might have all the opportunity in the world, but can he find the finishing touch on the day or make that decision to roll it across the six-yard box where hopefully Mane or Mo, I'm guessing probably the two going to play, are going to be there to tap it in.
And they're not a particularly tall defence, are they?
No, they're not, which is probably why Ben Alba's back, isn't he? And he is tall.
So, who's that?
Alaba. Is it Alaba?
Isn't he 5'11"? I thought he was 5'11". I was looking at something earlier that he's on it. He's quite small in terms of centre-backs.
I thought his aerial rim weight was pretty good, though, but yeah.
It might be. And obviously, in isolation, individuals who are 6 foot and slightly under can have it. But in general, the smaller the centre-backs, the less they rate. They win in terms, I think it's 5'11 and Militao 6'1". But either way, is the fact that we might be going down that left-hand side likely to bring more into the game from the other side? So he could have the space because they could be moving over.
Definitely.
On the back post.
Do you remember in the Chelsea game, Chelsea FA Cup final, they ended up having to pull James back from being a wing back to more of an almost an orthodox fullback, and also their right eight on the day, Kovacic, ended up having to back up as well, didn't he? So there was a very condensed area around Diaz because Diaz was having a field day against their player. So I can't remember, Shalabar, wasn't it, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you could see an instance there, Rodrigo player back four. So that means the ability to isolate the fullback will be even more because they're not, Shalabar's in a three more central, yeah? So isolating someone in there, pulling them out is difficult. But so yeah, you could see a situation where their right eight, which if it's Modric, would have to come back and help, or Casemiro gets pulled over, which means the area in zone 14 we talk about to exploit and we pass through as a you know, 25% more chance of scoring if you go through that area, as we saw at Saints, then they could open up areas. And like you said, if they go to the extreme measures, which you shouldn't do, the rest of the defence shuffles over, then yeah, Mo could be left 1v1 with Mendy.
And as we've seen, Mo's had a lot of double and often triple teaming against him. But if they do that, then we're just going to have a field day on the left-hand side with Diaz and Mane, aren't we? So they've got a striker balance. And Modric isn't the most mobile compared to a Kovacic, is he?
No, I say that I think the old guard will start, right? But Valverde is a younger player, right? So potentially they could swap that round. Valverde could play the right side and Modric comes on. Do you know what I mean? That selection, because again, Ancelotti isn't stupid. He would have looked at it and gone, right, yeah, I know what's going to happen here. So how do we mitigate for that? And he might just say, oh, we've got better quality. We can deal with it. We'll deal with it all season and he'll back his players to deal with it. Yeah. And that's where the 4-1-4 could come into more because you reduce the space which Diaz can operate. So that could be key. But I do think that they will have to double up on Diaz at some point in time. And then where they pull that double up from, we need to have the players available to use that space in the most effective manner.
Yeah. So we've got the open play defensively. This is going to be a huge key factor. How are they doing defensively from set plays, so corners and free kicks? Because we know how successful we've been this season. You've done unbelievably detailed research into it. Can we exploit them, and how is going to be best to do that?
Exploiting them, because they have a lack of ability seemingly to defend the ball aerially in the 18-yard box, the penalty box, and particularly around from the right flank, the front zone, front zone, should we say, not the front post, but the front zone just in front of there, just before the penalty spot, they've lost 75% of duels there in Champions League. So delivery of that area. So you know at Saints, I said we targeted areas either side of the penalty spot. So don't hit the penalty spot. Either go back zone, back of the mid zone, or front of the mid zone. That is going to be critical there. So for the right delivery, it'll be front mid zone, and from the left delivery, it'll be back mid zone. And if we get it into that channel, there is a chance that our knockdown play will be brilliant, because then if it's down on the floor, we already know their ground duels in the right side is poor. So we win it in the left side and knock it into the right side zone and pick up the pieces, we should, I would suspect, be able to create chances from that if we don't have an opportunity from the first phase, you know.
And in that first phase, are we going to be, who do you think our players attacking those zones are going to be? Is it going to be Matip the front and then Van Dijk but the other side of the penalty spot?
Potentially, yeah.
Or Canate, obviously, whichever one that is.
Whichever one that is. And also, this is also key with Fab. Yeah, because Fab has started to join in with attacking set plays. Yeah. And Hendo doesn't, right? So if Fab is playing the six, you've got three that are very good in the air. I know we joke that Matip's got a bit of a 50p head, and et cetera, but generally he's going to win the ball. And all we're looking for here, he seems to win the first phase ball. If he puts it on target, brilliant. If he knocks it down into space, which is generally what we have done, particularly without swinging corners, then I think we should be able to create some XG from that.
Do you think we're going to go Robbo outswing and Trent outswing? So both
outswing. Yeah, I think I've said that in my thing. I think so. I think we might mix it up. This is it, though. And I this minute detail is whoever partners BVD, I think, matters. Yeah?
Right.
Because if it's Canate, he has already proven he's better at heading on goal than the other centre halves. So if Canate is playing, I think you might see some in swinging corners. Right. Because then Canate is just going to come in and power it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's Matip, you might see more out swinging corners because we play off the second phase.
The flick on a knockdown. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, but as we have done, I mean, what was it? Saints, we were in swinging. Wolves, I have to admit, I was too engrossed in worrying about what's going on City to actually know, and I can't remember, but we do mix it up game on game, so it'll be interesting to see. But I think if Canate is on, there's a very big rationale for in swinging that ball, as I said, into the back mid zone or front mid zone, depending on whether it's right or left, and seeing him run onto it basically and put it in.
Yeah. So go on, mate.
I was just going to say that they're recovering, so because you can look at their recoveries in final third. And I was looking at this because they're not really known for being a pressing side, right? But so they've got of 91 recoveries over 8 games, which isn't a lot, right? It's not. But 20 recoveries have led to shots. So that's a 21% success rate. Now, I can't remember off the top of our head whether that's comparable with us. But
that's excellent.
That's not bad, right? And that is, they've created 2xG from that. Right. So I'm not saying they press a lot, because they clearly don't. 91 over 8 games, we'd be sitting there, that'd be in the really cold zone for us, right, on Papa.
Yeah.
Right, but when they do, they create nearly 0.1 XG per press, per successful press, which that's not, you know, if you think about that, that could, if they suddenly decided to do to half an hour of high pressing, which generally yeah. they high press the left wing Vinny, yeah? So they'd be pressing Trent's area, Matic Canate's area channel, where our right eight, depending on who plays, will be there, yeah? Naby, hopefully, Hendo maybe. They could get some very high value wins. Right. So that's just something to be aware of.
Well, not good link, Phil, because now we've spoke about their weaknesses, but let's come on to how they could potentially exploit our weaknesses, and I think the strength in their game is their attacking. And how are they going to set up to attack us? Are they going to sit back, like you said, and try and hit us on the break, a bit like Wolves did, or are they going to? Have they got a bit more to about their build-up than that?
Again, I think this is where the contrast between league and Champions League is key. So in the league, they would be possession-based side. In the Champions League, I think if you give up nearly 60% possession, you're a counter-attacking team. Yeah, right. So I would suggest that's where I think they might sit in a little bit and play and do. They'll do it with more quality because they've got Cruz, Modric, even Casemiro can pass the ball. You know what I mean? The three of them are very good footballers. Rather, I'm not saying the Wolves players or the Tottenham players or the City players that have done it against us aren't, but in terms of hitting Vinny early and whoever plays the right-hand side, I wouldn't want to take a guess, or even into Benzema, you know, those three areas to target will be a tactic I would perceive. Now, whether they start with deep and go for it or drop off, that'll be down to the day, I think. I suspect they all drop off and try and soak up our 20, 30-minute blast at the beginning and hit the areas that I've said. Benzema won't drop in. He'll stay up. So he'll always occupy centre-half. He won't press them.
Which side do you reckon he'll drop onto? Trent's side, like Matic?
Yeah, because it's well-known playing European football. That's our area, right? Even with Naby playing there, he still plays higher, right? So our progressive right eight, his starting position is higher. So he will sit in that pocket. They'll still try and split, though. As I said in the Wolves game, they won't stay together. So Vinny will probably hug touchline and Benzema will just be in that half space. So they're not going to be together, but they'll be in roughly the same vicinity. And the ball will go, I would imagine, go into that from Crooks. Long ball rate, as I said in the Champions League game, is up by 2%. So there's some chances in that. Attacking-wise, though, if you want to look at what they do with the ball once they've got possession in our final third, I thought what was interesting was their crossing. So from the right, they have a 46% success rate, and from the left, 55%. Okay, they create just over two XA, and 2.2 XG. All right, so that's about 0.2 per game on each of those. Three goals in total. And the difference in delivery is quite interesting. So, well, it's interesting for me. Vinny does, I'm doing a disservice, that's because I can't pronounce his name, Victor's Junior, for those who don't know who Vinny is. Yeah. He is an aerial crosser. Okay, so he will look to aerially deliver the ball in and around the traditional PK spot, drift into the back zone, if you like, yeah? Whereas from the right, they will do more of a ground duel, a ground cross, and it will be a flat ball into PK area again, but it's more of a flat ball. And even if they get to byline, they will ground pass it back to the D.
The cutback.
Yeah. But there's a lot more, it's more of a 2-to-1 ratio on the right from aerial to ground, whereas on the left, they've only done two ground passes, I think, or two or three in all the games. So it shows you they're more dominant in terms of aerial passing.
That's their left, our right.
So Trent's side, the ball's coming in aerially, which is fine because we've got BBD to deal with that.
Yeah.
The right side, he's coming in ground to Robbo's side. They'll be attacking that, and they'll mix it up. But they will look to do ground-based crossing, pulls across, which actually has caused us a few issues. If you look at the Benfica away goal, for example, I know Canate it was an error. That was a goal. If you look at away at Villarreal, both goals came through a similar kind of ball. Yeah, from the left-hand channel. So from our left-back area, the ground drawing. So again, he would have identified that.
Who are going to be their runners then? Because if they're cutting it back and there's only Benzema there, so Vinicius is going to come in when they're doing it along
the right, yeah.
Run it on the field as well.
And that'll be key in terms of the starting position, just having a look where 10 is. No, it's too deep. It would be, it should be the right 8, but again, it would really depend on what their starting shape is. Yeah. Because if they're starting deeper, there is no way Modric is getting up, 60 yards to come for a cutback. It's just, that's just not going to happen. Right. If it's Valverde, maybe. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Go on.
Go on, mate.
I was going to say, dribble wise, again, what you'd expect, really. Vinny, it has a higher dribbling success rate. They have a successful dribble. So 1.7 XG from dribbles. And to give you an idea of how important it is that we stop Junior, he has something like 1.3 XG of that 1.7 for the team from his side, from successful dribbles. So
we saw that against City, didn't we?
He was superb, and he's great. In terms of the other metric we look at for them is through balls. And unsurprisingly, because this kind of completes the picture, their left back has the highest zone area for through balls. So that would be looking to play Vinny in on a counter.
So we would need Trent and Mo and Nabe to stop that.
Stop that. Then so Mendy is we playing about Alaba. Yeah. So, and that's kind of his Bayern days as well, isn't it? So that could be an interesting thing to work on, and why our choice at 9 will be key as well. So when the ball's down that side, and 9 will have to, they'll have to decide. They've got to deal with Casemiro, but equally, they've got to stop or help Mo stop the through ball coming from the left-back zone.
Yeah, top stuff, right? The other element of their attack will be their set players, and although I'm confident in our ability to defend them, have they got any particular threats and trends?
So I'm confident we can defend these. I mean, this is famous last words now, isn't it? In terms of what they've done, so in eight Champions League knockout games, they've created just over 1 XG, no goals from corners.
Wow.
Okay. And from free kicks, half an XG in 8 games and no goals. So the delivery areas, if you've looked at these reports before, the corners predominantly, they will in-swing into the 6-yard box. That is their dominant area in the Champions League, all right? Which is different from the league. They'll mix it up a bit more, or they'll play short. The only ones they pull it back to the edge of the D is from the left. So it's something to look at. In the league, they share it out between Modric and Cruz, right? Yeah. In the Champions League, Cruz takes 3/4 of all set piece deliveries.
Wow.
And he's right-footed, so the only left-footer who's allowed, and I do say allowed, the number he's taken, to take any set pieces is Asensio. And he's created nothing, and that's he largely takes from the right. So that would be so if they're going to go for an in-swinger, it'll be Asensio taking it from the right.
But to me, that kind of gives us a big imperative to make sure when they do break that we block it and don't let the crosses come in or the cutbacks come in, and hopefully put it out for a corner or that kind of thing, because then we can just deal with that very easily.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they'll be committing players forward for the corner, and then we can hit them quickly.
Exactly.
If we can win the ball.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. I think the VVD's one of Fabio's phrases is stop the cross. So we stop the cross in open play and let them have a corner, and we'll deal with it. The cutbacks, and this is where I would prefer, or I am hopeful that Fab plays, because Fab's mobility to work laterally, shut down passing lanes and stop the cutback shot, if you like. So the Rodri goal against Villa, that would have happened, I would say, against Hendo. Against Fab, it doesn't, because Fab's better at moving sideways to block that lane. Yeah. And that sounds really harsh, but we know Hendo has a bit of a mobility problem moving sideways. He's okay back and front, yeah, and he's not very good on the turn. And that's not a criticism of him. That's just how he is as a player. Fab is better at that. He's more mobile. So for those cutbacks, for me, Fab sitting in there would be the key area, would be key. Or if we've got, we sometimes have Mo on the edge, and he's quite good at that as well. So it just, we just have to be aware of that.
Should we just do a quick, brief look at what one you think, or you would pick lineup-wise, and then what you think we're going to go with? And let's assume that Thiago's fit enough to start. And Fab.
Okay. Right, and Fab. Yeah. Right.
Let's do an either-or.
Okay, so back, this is really hard.
I'm going Konate.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be fair with you, Konate has played the majority of Champions League games.
Yeah.
Therefore, particularly in this game, although we will miss out on the progressive nature of Matic's play.
Of course.
Yeah, because Konate hasn't got that about him. He's more of a VVD distributor than a... He can pass on the ground, but he's not going to travel with it. So, but I think we have to counteract the ability that we just have to accept that at some point in time, Vinny is going to get in the past Trent. You know, he can defend very, very well, and he has done, but there are going to be times, like in the FA Cup final, Alonso did get in a couple of times. So, yeah, I would say Konate goes with VVD. The others in the back five pick themselves. I don't think there's any question about that. For me, I think we've been building this load and planning for this game for a while to play Fabiago, NTF, whatever you want to call it. I think that was the plan. I think it's got slightly derailed by the fact that two of them have picked up little knocks. But if we are presuming they're both fit, that's the midfield for me. And then Diaz and Mo on the wings. And in current form, it's probably going to be Mane in the nine. Because actually in his last game, his receiving passing rate was good. His off-ball work was, I think, was still good in terms of the pressing. So if he carries that form on, then he's perfect for the nine. If he tosses in a performance where his receiving rate's around the 60s, then we've got a problem, you know. So, but then we've got changes on the bench. It's just that, as we've alluded to, I think Bobby's better starting, but I wouldn't start him. So because he took 10 minutes to warm up against Wolves, but when he did, he was brilliant, right? But he just took it, and we can't afford 10 minutes against Real Madrid. So that's, is that dreamland?
Yeah. So, let's do now likely. So, if Thiago's not fit, if Fabinho's not fit, I'm guessing we're going Henderson as a six and Naby as the eight.
Left eight.
Left eight. So, who's going to be the right eight?
Next in, looking at all the data, as you know, I've blocked me for that. The next three of people ain't going to like this. He is, but I think Milner's got a knock, but it would be Milner, Hendo, Naby. With CJ potentially, with CJ being in the mix. If Thiago and Fab aren't playing, which means we'll give up more XGA, but we'll create this still the same similar levels around just below two a game.
You've done that as well. Yeah, it doesn't affect what we're creating, but we do concede more.
We do concede more. So, but then we mitigate that a little bit. We deal with the outlet for them, which would be down that side. So, I personally think Fab will be fit.
What we really need in this is we need one of Fabinho or Thiago to start.
Yeah. So therefore, then that goes to the most combined midfield choice, which is Hendo in the right eight, Thiago, Naby in the left eight, and Fab playing. And our XGA for that is actually pretty good, to be fair. It's just below one, which is good, which is what we need. And then it is around the same sort of figures going forward. I think it's just at the two mark. So that... And if I'm using my head here, unless Thiago is out there for training on Friday, that today in the open training of the stadium, I suspect that's what we'll see.
Right, I agree.
And I think the rest of the team, Konate and Matic might be, I think he goes for Konate, I have to say, but I think the rest of it kind of picks itself.
Yeah, I like the progressive element of matter. Again, what a wonderful choice to have. I think
I know,
we've got incredible strengths.
As Si posted out recently,
very few weaknesses. Yeah,
Matic might be the second best centre half in the league. You know, yeah. If you look at the stats for this season, he's been absolutely superb. And I don't know, VVD took what 10, 11 games to get back up to form, and then he's regained his place as being the best defender in the world, but Matip's not far behind. And two of them form that bedrock, that turning the tide from us going from over one XG a game conceded to less. Is it finished up about 0.8? Did we in the end or something? Do you know what I mean? That XGA. So, yeah, it would be incredibly harsh, but I think the tactical reasons, you have to win the game.
Well, Kanate doesn't even know what losing's like either. So
No. He's played a whole season and not lost a game. But then you look at a lot of the squad, that we've lost two games all season.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, it's crazy. I would like to say one thing I am slightly worried about, and this is being a bit pessimistic, but at the moment, if we're being really frank, yeah, Mane's the only one who's scoring freely.
Yeah.
Right. So if they actually mark him out of the game, I would, and Diaz and Mo do their usual, should we say, I just would be worried about scoring, taking advantage of chances.
I'm going to come back out of there. Whereas I think because they've been quite cold and wasteful in terms of the goals in recent, I think this is the game to turn around. Because Real Madrid have conceded so many chances and haven't gone out.
Yeah.
And because we've got two cold attackers out the front three, randomness, like with the more little random tapping against Wolves, something like that is likely to happen.
Yeah.
So what I'm concerned about, and this we'll finish on this, because this could be a key factor and has been a huge factor in all Real Madrid's games. When we go 1-0 up, or if we go a goal ahead, what do we then do? Do we carry on with our system that got us the goal ahead, or do we switch to stop them doing that thing where they score a couple of goals in a short space of time?
I think we do. To be honest with you, I think it'll be the City game plan. So I think we'll go hard. That's a horrible, you know what I mean? I think we'll come out, fly out for the first 25, see what the score is. And then manage the game from that point. At City, what, we were two up at that time? Two up? Three up?
We scored just on half time, didn't we?
Yeah, right. So I think we'll do that and then manage the game. If we're only one up, then we might sit for a bit, get in at half time and lead, and then come out again second and then sit off.
Bring on fresh subs to just freshen it up.
Yeah, because we've got five subs, right? Yeah, so I think we'll, and if we aren't ahead after that first 25, then it'll be a point. I think we'll see us shut the game down till half time, which is why the players we've chatted about being available is key for that. And then come out and redo it in the second half and play a 45-minute game, basically. But no, I expect to sort of really do think to come out faster, a bit like the last Champions League final we were in against Spurs. We came out incredibly fast start, got a chance in the first minute or so, put it away. And then we shut the game down. But I'm not saying we'll do that. But we did come out incredibly fast. We were all over Spurs for the first little period of time. So I think in our biggest attacking performances this season, that might be a bit of a statement, City in that cup semi-final, we had an incredibly fast start. And I don't, Benfica away, another big start. Villarreal again, we were incredibly fast starters for that first 20 minutes. And I think that's our game plan.
Oh, Phil, are we going to number seven?
It's that weird, isn't it? Butterflies. It was weird. Pre-looking at all of this, I was doing these reports, as you know, I was working on the last couple of days. I'm more confident now, having looked at the data.
Same. Having looked at your data, I'm more confident.
Yeah, I'm a lot more confident. Mm-hmm. And seeing Fab training has made me a lot more confident.
yeah,
a lot more confident.
I genuinely think, honestly, if one of Fabinho or Thiago starts, I think we win this quite comfortably.
Yeah, and I think you might also be right. Mo getting a little finish against Wolves, I think, might just inject it into him. I think Diaz will still be wasteful because I think he needs a pre-season to go through the process in terms of what to do with the ball for us in the final third. But Mo getting that little spark back could actually be key as well. So there's some,
We've seen about 30 Diaz shots where he cuts in off his left and tries to curl it into the top corner. So I'm hoping one of them's going to come off as well because we haven't seen.
Yeah, or he just plays the Thiago ball, rolls it through to the nine. You know, he's got so many things to do there, but he's a brilliant player.
Tell you what, I'm not confident about getting any sleep tonight. Bloody hell!
No. I mean, I've still got to work on the missus to watch the games.
Will.
No
Thanks
worries.
Call Liverpool up the Reds, number 7, please.
Please.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.